Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Joshua chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 13. If you're an able body, we ask that you would stand to honor the reading of God's word. While you're standing, you know that we are in a series called Game Time. This is part 3 of the series, Game Time, and this is definitely, I'm really excited about sharing. I'm trying to hold my patience so I can work through the sermon. Here's what it says, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you're still scrolling, say hold up. Amen. Here's what it says. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And Joshua did so. Chapter number 6, beginning at verse 1, says this. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. When the priests blowing the trumpets, when you hear the sound of a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." We'll stop there. It's the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is blessed. You may be seated in the presence of God. Normally, I ask that you all help me introduce the sermon, and so I'm going to ask that you help me introduce the sermon this morning. But before I ask you to introduce it, I need to make sure you're doing it in the right manner. So let me make sure I set it up right. I want you to think, for those who are parents, I want you to think that you have a child who throws something, and you want them, you see them, you're a little upset about it, and you want them to go and get it. And so there's a certain way you may communicate that to your child when they've thrown something in anger, and you say to them, "Go and get it." There is for those who don't have children. I want you to think that somebody owes you money, and you know they've got the money, but they've just been ducking and dodging you. You don't really even like them anyway. You're wondering why I let them have some money. And so now you see them and you're not even trying to be kind anymore. And you tell them, "Go get it." That's kind of what I want you to do. So I want you to look at your neighbor. You can smile while doing this and say, "Today's sermon is, go get it." Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor and say, "Today's sermon is, go get it. Go get it. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open my eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Go get it. I like the movies Mission Impossible. You know, there's several of them now. One of the latest was Ghost Protocol. Mission Impossible. You know, the one with Tom Cruise where they say, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is Mission Impossible. I like the movies because I can watch them, and in my mind, I can do all that stuff. I can do all the tricks. I can do all the stunts. As a matter of fact, I can do them and look better doing them than Tom Cruise does. In my mind, I can do Mission Impossible. There are times when God promises us something, and it seems like getting it is Mission Impossible. What do you do when your dreams seem to be more like a fairy tale than reality? What do you do when God has promised you something, but getting it seems like Mission Impossible? Today I want to show us how to get all that God has for us. If we're going to get all that God has for us, Joshua teaches us a few things about how to do it. First of all, Joshua teaches us that it's not about you. It's amazing. I know it's hard for some of us to think that when the world full of selfies in a very real sense. Getting all that God has for us is not really even about you. If you're taking notes, that's our first point. Write it down. It's not about you. It's going to be hard, but it's fine. Just walk with me for a minute. You'll see it's really not about you. In order to help us understand this, let me share with us what's going on in the text. We are in the fifth and sixth chapter of Joshua. We were really first introduced to Joshua, though, back in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, when Moses sent 12 spies to view the land that God had promised them. Joshua was one of those 12. And out of the 12, only two came back believing that they could go and get it. That was Caleb and Joshua. They saw that God had something for them, and they believed that they could go and get it. Moses died, and Joshua is now the one who followed in the footsteps of Moses to lead God's people to the land that God had promised them. Joshua chapter 1, we see Joshua, and God says to Joshua, Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. It's game time now. Go to the land that I've promised to my people. Joshua sends two spies to recon the mission in Jericho, the ancient city. It was a great walled city. History tells us that it was surrounded by two massive stone walls. The outer wall was 6 feet thick and 20 feet high. The outer wall. The inner wall was 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. It said that in essence, they may have took them over 100 years just to build the walls. There was a 15-foot guard tower on top of the wall so that they could see what's going on the outside. From a military standpoint, it was practically impenetrable. This was, in a very real sense, a Mission Impossible. And for some of us sitting in here this morning, that's what you're feeling right now when it comes to the dreams that God has placed in your heart. You look at where you are now and what you have, and accomplishing what God has put in your heart seems like Mission Impossible. You know that God has given you a dream to start a business or to grow your business. And the way that the economy is right now, it looks like it's Mission Impossible. You know that God has given you the vision to buy the house, but the way your bank account is set up, you have a checking and a savings account, and when you look at it, it looks like it's Mission Impossible. You know that God has given you the desire to have a happy marriage, but after that last argument, it really looks like Mission Impossible. You know that God wants you to have a healthy relationship, but after the last four fools that you have dated, it really seems like Mission Impossible. That's where they are in the text. Jericho is a foreboding city, and it's a military nightmare. For some of us, we can remember last Sunday, I shared with us that the bigger your dream, the tougher your challenge. The more ambitious your goals, the more likely it is that you will face difficulties on your way towards them. We get to chapter 5 of Joshua, and we see Joshua near Jericho, and he has an encounter with a messenger from God. The Bible says that the messenger was standing with a sword drawn. Joshua, who is clearly about that life, walks up to him and says, "Hey, bruh, are you for us or against us?" And at this point in the text, I get perplexed. I'm troubled. I'm confused. I don't understand something. Joshua asked him a very simple question. Are you for us or against us? Red pill, blue pill. Simple options. Are you for us or against us? And the messenger of God says, neither. Hold up. Bro, maybe you didn't understand the question. You get to bubble. Answer A or answer B. There is no C to bubble. Answer A or answer B. Are you for us or against us? And the messenger of God says, neither. His answer messed with me because when we read the text, we can see that God had promised them the land. It was God that gave the vision. It was God that got them where they are. It's God that's been on their side the whole time. And the messenger of God says, neither. God, how can this be? God began to show me that it doesn't matter what side the messenger is on. He's simply having his will done on earth. In other words, it's not even about us. It's about God's will being done. In other words, whatever God has for you is specifically for you. It's custom made for you. It has your name on it, and it has to be you because God fits it perfectly for you, and it fits within God's will for you. Whatever God has planned for your life has to be done because it's more about God than it is about you. Wherever you come to grips with the fact that it's not about us, it's not about me, we can have less stress because we'll say, God, whatever your will is, let your will be done in my life. Whenever we can say that it's not about us and it's about God, our dreams won't seem like mission impossible, but we'll be able to say, God, you do what you want to do in my life because it's not really even about me. When we see the odds that we face, we can say, God, have your way, because I realize whatever you have for me is for me. I get a lot of mail in the building that I live in. I get a lot of mail from UPS, and I get a whole lot of mail. Generally, it's for Uplift. There is some box of something, whether it is brochures or flyers. I'm always getting some mail. And there are times when the UPS man comes, and they may have the number on it, but it's missing all of the digits. It's missing something. It just has a little bit on it. And so they're not really sure which door to bring it to. But in the office, the girl in the office who comes to Uplift, she can look at the package. And even though the address may not be clear, there's my name on it. And as long as my name is on it, they know exactly where to bring it to. As long as, I don't care how many packages he has that day, I don't care whose name is on whatever other package, as long as my name is on my package, I know that I can go to the office and say, that one's mine. Okay, there was one day they were having a bad day in the office, and I knew I was getting a package because I could track my packages, and so I go in there, and the office people are looking all throughout the storage area, can't find my package. They're looking at the numbers for the rooms on the packages, and they just can't seem to find my package. Somebody has messed up somewhere because UPS says my package has been delivered. And so they're looking and they're saying, Pastor Ball, can't find your package. Okay, cool. Let's be a little bit more specific. You're looking at the numbers on the box. Can you look for my name? Can you look for my name? I know it's a little confusing. You can't really tell which one is mine, but if you look through all of them, regardless of the numbers, as long as my name is on it, you know it's mine. And they found it, and they had it mismatched with where it should go at, but as long as my name was on it, I could claim what was mine. My brothers and my sisters, I'm simply trying to get us to understand this. There is some stuff that God has promised you, and others are confused about it, but God wants you to know what he has for you is for you, so much so that he has your name on it. The question is, are you willing to go and get it? Joshua teaches us That if we're going to get what God has planned for us, understand that it's not even about us, but it's about God's will being done. Joshua also teaches us, here's our second point, that it's not your way, but it's God's way. It's not your way, but it's God's way. There was a couple that had been arguing over washing dishes. You know, when you're in a relationship for a long time, you argue over foolish things, like, you know, which way the spoons are supposed to be in the drawer, stuff like that, you know, how we should let stuff dry, all that kind of stuff, how you fold the towels. I fold them this way. A little bit of arguments just mess up all kind of relationships. This couple, they were arguing over how to wash dishes. One said that you should fill the sink with water and soap and wash the dishes. The other said you should let the water run, put soap on a sponge, and wash the dishes. Don't fill the sink, you just let the water run. The other one said fill the sink, put the soap in the sink, and then wash all the dishes. They got into an argument. They've been arguing for a long time, and the wife decided that she would be the bigger person. The wife went to the husband and said, I'm tired of arguing over this. Here's what we will do. Whenever you wash the dishes, you do it your way. And when I wash the dishes, I'll do it the right way. And this will end all of the arguments over it. There are times when God's way seems odd to us. He tells one man in the Bible, name it. He says, if you want to get cured from your illness, go to the muddy river and dip in 7 times. That's an odd way to get a cure. Says a blind man comes to Jesus, and Jesus takes dirt in his hand, spits in the dirt, makes a mud pie, and puts it on his eyes to clear the man's blindness. It's an odd way to get healed. There are times when God's way just seems odd to us. They don't make sense to us, but they make sense for us. Here the instructions to Joshua are odd. He's instructed to get all of his warriors, 7 priests, and they carried the horns before the ark. But don't worry about fighting. All you've got to do is march around the city. And once you're done marching around the city, y'all make camp and chill for the rest of the day. Hold on, God, this is a war. This is a fight. And all you want us to do is to walk around the city. His ways may not make sense to us, but they make sense for us. God says, do that for 7 days. And on the 7th day, don't have to worry about trying to knock the walls down. Don't have to worry about trying to get through the walls. You don't have to worry about trying to get underneath the wall. You don't have to worry about breaking through. On the 7th day, when the trumpet blows and the people shout, their shout is what's going to bring the walls down. But God, have you seen the walls? I mean, they're like 30 feet tall, 12 feet. God, a shout ain't going to bring that. We need some military weapons. We've been wandering in the desert for a long time. God, this don't make any kind of sense. God, how are we going to get what you have for us when there's such a wall in front of us? But God, have you seen what's blocking me from my blessing? The outer wall, 6 feet thick, 20 feet high. The inner wall, 12 feet thick, 30 feet high. There was a 15-foot guard tower on top of the wall. God, have you seen the walls in my life? God, I need a job, and I don't understand how a shout can do that for me. God, I need my body healed, and I really don't understand how a shout can do that for me. God, I really need a financial breakthrough, and I don't understand how shouting is going to do that for me. God, I need peace from real life issues, stress in my home, stress at work, stress with my children, and I don't understand how a shout can do that for me. I don't understand how my shout to heaven can bring down walls here on earth. God, it doesn't make any sense. And God wants us to know that our willingness to shout, even when it doesn't make sense, activates our faith. And God hears and sees how faithful we are, and heaven begins to move on our behalf, even when it doesn't make sense. God sees our willingness to do it his way and not our way. There's somebody here this morning. You've got some walls that have been stopping you from getting to God's best for you. You've got some walls that have been holding you back. You've got some walls that have been keeping you down. You've got some walls that have been blocking you. Walls of depression. Walls of anger.
Walls of poverty, walls of low self-esteem, walls of past mistakes, walls of bitterness. And I wonder if there's anybody in here today that's made up their mind that I'm going to get what God has for me. Tell your neighbor, please don't judge me, but I gotta get what God has for me. Please don't judge me, because I really need God to bring some walls down in my life. I dare somebody to open your mouth and shout unto God, believing that he's able to bring down walls in your life. I dare somebody to have the boldness to shout hallelujah, believing that God is able to remove whatever has been blocking you from his best for you. I know that it may not make sense to you, but it makes sense for you, because the Bible says that whatever we ask in faith and believe, we shall receive. Is there anybody in here that's willing to say, God, I want what you have for me?
Thank you, God.
If we're going to get what God has for us, we got to understand that it's not about us. We want to get what God has for us. We got to understand it's not our way, but it's God's way. I'm out of your way. Here's our last point is this. It's already yours. It's already yours. I love how God does things. Notice in the text that before they ever started walking around the city, before they blew the trumpet, they had already won. When chapter 6 opens up, God says to Joshua, I have already given, this past tense, I have already given you the city. Joshua, it's already yours. You've just got to go and get it. Joshua, the victory is already yours. You've just got to go and get it. Joshua, the battle has already been won. You've just got to go and get it. But wait, there's a little bit more. The text says that the people in Jericho were shut up in the walled city so that nobody went out and nobody came in, because they already knew that God had delivered them into Joshua's hands. Brothers and sisters, there are some people that can already see that God has blessed you even before you see it. Some of your enemies have already seen that God is blessing you, and they can't do anything to stop it. The devil has already seen that God has given you the victory, and he can't stop it. He simply wants to keep you from going to get it. Is there anybody here today that's willing to say that I'm going to get what God has for me? I'm going to get all the blessings that God has for me. I'm going to get the business that God has for me. I'm going to get the healing that God has for me. I'm going to get the breakthrough that God has for me. I'm going to get the house that God has for me. I'm going to get the land that God has for me. The relationship, I'm going to get it. The job, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get whatever the Lord has for me, because it has my name on it. Brothers and sisters, the devil simply stands to distract us. I'm out of your way. There's a poem that simply says, quitting is not the way. It says, go ahead and quit if you can't see it through. But don't come crying to me when quitting is all you do. Those who start to quit when things start getting tough, see, to start quitting as a way of getting out of stuff. They never stick things through and can't complete a thing. Is this the type of person you see yourself being? Quitters never win, no matter what you've heard. Have you ever heard a quitter that's picked to be referred? Of course, that would be silly. Why would someone refer someone who can't even accomplish? They are their own saboteurs. Next time you want to quit, think who you want to be. Quitters never win. I want more than that for thee. I want to see success surround you every day. I want you to be happy. I want to scream hooray. I want you in the job that makes your world so good. I want the work you do to make you feel like it's childhood. But most of all, I want to see you see things through. But not because you should, because you really want to. And I realize you may be scared that you can't see it through, but I'm here to tell you, you can do anything you put your mind to. Brothers and sisters, God has so much for you. The question is, are you willing to go and get it? Because he's already got your name on it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for already giving us the victory. We thank you that you have already set some things in motion for us, that you've got blessings already lined up for us. And they've got our name on it. There's no confusion about it being ours. Lord, we pray now that you would give us the courage to go and get it. Help us, Lord God, to always remember that it's not even about us, but you're blessing us because it's your perfect will for us. Help us, Lord God, to understand that it's not our way, but your way. There are some things, Lord God, that may not make sense to us, but they make sense for us. Help us, Lord God, to remember when it seems difficult that we've already won, that we already have the victory. Lord God, maybe there's somebody here right now and you've offered salvation to them. Their name is already on it. The question is, are they willing to go and get it? If there's somebody here right now, Lord God, under the sound of my voice, who've never accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray now, Lord God, that you will remove any hindrance. Give them the courage to say, I want to be saved. Jesus has already died to save me, and I'm going to get it. Because my name is on it. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord God, who's accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior. They messed up. They've fallen short. They backslid and went back into the world, but they can come back saying, wait, I know the Lord loves me. I know salvation is for me. Even though I've messed up, it still has my name on it. Help us, Lord God, to recommit our lives to you. Thirdly, maybe there's somebody here, Lord God, that's looking for a church home. Somewhere where they can grow in faith. And maybe, Lord God, you're putting in their heart that Uplift is the place for them. Pray, Lord God, that you would give clarity of thought. Help someone make that decision today. That I want to make Uplift my church home so that I can grow in my relationship with God. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters. I can remember my first bike. It was a black bike, had training wheels on it, and it had one of these little shiny seats on it. I liked my first bike. Cool first bike. My grandfather had got it for me. I can remember one day I'm riding my bike. This boy, his name was Tyrone. Tyrone was bigger than me. Tyrone was badder than me. And Tyrone could have his way and do whatever he wanted to do. Tyrone liked my bike. He had his own bike, but for whatever reason, he wanted my bike. Tyrone pushed me, and he took my bike. I ran and I told my grandfather, I said, Grandpa, Tyrone took my bike. My grandfather got up, walked out. He looked at me, and he said, go get it. Grandfather, that's Tyrone's son. Tyrone is bigger than me. Tyrone is better than me. And I know Tyrone can definitely beat me up. My grandfather said, son, that's your bike. I bought that for you. Now go get it. So I walked up to Tyrone. Tyrone, he looked at me like, you gonna come take this bike? I knew my grandfather said, it's my bike. Now go get it. I was more afraid of my grandfather than I was of Tyrone. And so I walked up to Tyrone. And I moved his
While he looked at me at first, Tyrone looked up and he saw my grandfather standing there like this. I couldn't beat Tyrone, but my grandfather's presence alone gave me the freedom to go get what was mine. My brother and my sister, God is standing behind you saying, I've already put your name on it. Come over here. Somebody here today, maybe you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And the devil stands to remind you of all the wrong that you have done, all of your mess ups and your hang ups. And God is standing saying, I've already saved you. Put your name on it. Now go ahead. I've already delivered you and put your name on it. Now go and get it. Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We're going to make it so very easy for you to go and get it. We're going to pray a collective prayer. And here's why we do this, because I understand that for some people, getting up and just walking down by yourself is frightening, and that the devil will use that to keep salvation from you. And so we're going to simply let you stay where you are. This is between you and God. It's not even for show and for us. It's for you and God. Maybe you're here, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We simply ask that you pray this prayer with us as we pray it together. We're all going to say, Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I have messed up. I admit that I have fallen short. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. Somebody has made a decision to go and get their salvation. It's a blessing. If you have made that decision, my brother, my sister, to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, as you came in and you worship God, there is a connect card. We simply ask you to check on the connect card that I committed my life to Christ. I accepted Christ. Maybe you're here and you recommitted your life to Christ. We simply ask that you check that. We want to send you an email with some next steps as to how to grow in your faith. Or finally, maybe you're here and you're saying, man, I've been coming to church for a while and I want to be baptized. I really do want to secure my relationship with Jesus. I want to tell the whole world that I've accepted him. We're doing baptism today at 3 p.m. and I would be glad to help you go a next step in your relationship with God. Simply check that I want to be baptized. And we'll make sure we connect with you. We can get that done today. If you hear my brother, my sister, we ask that you do that. As we're all seated in the presence of God. Maybe there's somebody here came in today. Pastor, I've got walls in my life. I mean, everybody thinks my life is perfect. And they really, I want to be like them. I want to have what they have. But they don't understand the walls that are in my life. Maybe there's somebody here, you know that God has so many blessings for you. But you've got to get past the walls in your life. This wasn't even in my notes. Check this out. The amazing thing about Jericho is this. Jericho was historic because of its walls. It had so many great walls. This is the amazing thing about it. Once they got past the walls of Jericho, that was simply one territory that opened up the rest for them. There are some walls that once you get past them, you can see all that God has for you. It's more than just Jericho. God has promised them so much land, but they had to first get past the walled city so they could get to the rest of the blessings that God has for them. There's somebody here today. You're saying, Pastor, I need to get past some walls in my life. I know that God has more for me. Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, and you want prayer. We invite you to come down to the altar. We're going to pray that God would break down some walls in somebody's life on today. If you hear my brother, my sister, and you're standing in need of prayer,